around Christmas time, not too long ago, I applied for an international placement. I'm doing social work as my degree at the minute. And I just had total favor, and the doors opened, and I was able to be given an international placement. So basically, before I am qualified as a social worker, I have to rack up about 900 and some odd hours in the field. And I've done some of that, but I need to do more. So I'm doing more this summer in England in a place called Blackpool. It's not where Mark is from. Mark is from near Sheffield. And so we're relatively close to family there, but we are very close to a Partners in Harvest church and friends named Kieran and Laura and their two daughters. And, you know, besides the placement, we've just gotten, you know, different words from people like Ivan and Isabel, just about a time in England for us. And just kind of logistically and in our hearts, we just had a piece about this being the time because Addie's going to be going to school next September. So we don't want to uproot our family after that, even though we're totally up for anything. Because in the kingdom, you know, can't hold on to our plans too tightly. But so that's kind of what's going on there. And we're really excited. We are coming back. So we can't give you a date or a time. It's like Jesus' return. You know, you just kind of have to be willing to wait. You'll know the season.
We're just trying to be more like Jesus, basically. That's the whole point.
So you guys can pray for us. And, you know, maybe even today, after, later, we'll have like a little prayer rumble in the corner or something. That'd be lovely. Or at Veros, because the meeting's today. But we definitely welcome your prayers and encouraging words. If you have anything negative to say, just write it on a paper and throw it in the garbage. Just get it out of your system. No, I'm joking. So we love Midtown, and that's why it's kind of bittersweet that we're speaking this morning, because we're so excited, we're so stirred up to bless you guys, each one of you. Even if we don't know you that well and we only see you on a Sunday, you're a huge part of this family for us. We just wanted to quickly say, you know, when we came to Midtown more regularly, because we had kind of been in and out for a bit, we had just finished kind of a season or a chapter of our life helping to start up the North York congregation, or campus rather, with Linda and Sam Duncombe, who are just wonderful, incredible friends and leaders. But, you know, that time was intense. It was an intense learning experience. We were part of the lead team, and you know, starting Jay and Vero and Dylan Kev could let you know how intense it is to start something, you know, from the ground up, and with lots of love and blessing and guidance from Steve and Sandra and all those people. It's still a lot of work. So we were tired, and we had been stretched in good ways. And we just felt really refined in the fire. So we were just at a point where we needed to kind of fit in somewhere and belong somewhere and find family somewhere again. And nothing really negative happened at North York at all, you know, with us. But with Addie especially, it was time to move on to a morning church, to B, a morning church where there was other kids. And that kind of led us here. So
yeah, and what we found when we came here was just such a freedom, and such an acceptance, and such a lack of, I don't know what the right word is really, such a lack of expectation on people. Not in a negative, like, not that in any bad way, like there's no expectation to do anything, but just that we didn't find that we had to be involved in something or to be a part of the team. And that's something that's just continued to be clear, that everyone here is a part of the family, whether they're doing kids' church or worship or just coming and turning up every week. Wherever you're at, you're part of this family. And we've just felt so blessed and so refreshed and encouraged by the way, particularly that the leadership sees that and sees us as a family. And I think that's why we felt so welcomed here, because it is such a family. And there's people here that I've known for years, and there's people here that I've spoken to twice. But still, I feel like I could totally be myself here, and I'd just be welcome for who I am. So we just want to bless you guys and say you're doing awesome. Really, really, really great. Like, everyone is a really important part of this body. And everyone brings something special to the mix. And that's, I think, really that is, it's a glimpse of what Jesus really wanted his church to be like. To be just aiming to be more like him, but not totally doing away with ourselves. Because he created us all for something special, right?
Thanks, Mark. I wanted him up here to definitely say that with me, because we both want to honor you guys. And I think I am left to speak now. We kind of have a deal that Mark is the worship leader, and we both are supposed to be the speakers, but he kind of likes to hand it off to me. That's fine. So just to tag on to what we were just saying, Jay and Vero, can you guys, you don't have to stand up, because that's just effort, but we love you guys so much. Jill and Kev as well. And just, you know, now that you guys are kind of in that position on your own and just taking that up, we just love you guys and we honor you. You just so facilitate Holy Spirit so well. We get blasted every week, and we just want to say thank you because a lot of that has to do with you. So, yeah, I'm not going to start crying. Stay strong. Think of something serious. Kittens being killed. Okay. I know. I have to hold back the tears for later. Okay. So something is happening in Midtown. Something amazing is always happening in Midtown. But particularly, Mark and I just kind of fell in two specific areas. Darren's message last week was amazing. If you guys, was everyone here for Darren Clark? I think most of you were. Yeah. Okay. And what I really took away from it for Midtown was that, you know, spirituality is being returned to Christians. That it's okay to be spiritual, you know? And in some ways, Mark and I, we can only explain what's happening at Midtown as spiritual. We can't actually put into words, but oftentimes we're just in the car after a meeting and we're like, whoa, like something is going on at Midtown. We don't know what it is, but like, you know, when you just can't articulate it. So in two ways, we felt particularly in the worship. And I don't know if Natasha's here, and Mike and Carrie. In the worship, we really felt that God's taking worship to the next level, and that just with the new songs that are being written, and just with the engaging God, and just there's almost like more movement, and it's just amazing. Like, God is just totally moving in worship, so we just wanted to honor you guys and just encourage you that even more miracles are going to happen, even more vision, and just like worship is really releasing something here, and it's really, you know how the Bible talks about worship, you know, going first in war, and you know the worshipers really just taking a stand. We just really feel that here, and also mobilizing and advancement and action. I just get reminded of the verse, you know, faith without works is dead, and I just really feel for Midtown that there is works going on here, that there is action behind what we're talking about, that there are little projects all over the place, and you guys have really been stepping out, and all of us together have been, you know, taking risks and just doing the stuff of the kingdom outside of these walls. And, you know, I just really felt to say that, you know, sometimes we think, well, doing the stuff should look like this. And I just kept getting the word should in my mind, and I felt God was saying to not listen to the shoulds for you guys, that when we say something should look like this or something should feel like that, that we're comparing. And he doesn't want Midtown to be compared to anywhere else, because this is a really special part of the body and you guys are all a special part of the family. And so I don't know if that makes sense to one or two or any of you, but I feel like there's some shoulds in some people's minds here and that you've been kind of wrestling with that. And I just declare freedom over you to not listen to the shoulds. I have an example, actually, from when Mark and I were engaged. I kept saying to Mark, oh, you know, we were just going through a really rough time at one point, and I was like, you know, being engaged shouldn't be like this. I always see engaged people, they're so happy, you know, they look so, like, fresh and excited for their wedding, and we're, like, working so hard and hitting all these road bumps, like, speed bumps, and you know, all these, like, this kind of, like, verbal diarrhea kept coming out, and he's just saying, you know, you keep saying should, but who are you comparing it to? Like, you know, like, we are Mark and Bethany, we're not anyone else, and, you know, all that stuff that, you know, that beautiful refining stuff that goes along with getting married and stuff, but that's what I mean when I say shoulds. Do you guys know what I mean? So in terms of the mobilizing and the action and the stirring up that God's doing in your hearts and minds to go and just take on the city, I encourage you guys in that and just Yeah, just say don't listen to the shoulds, because oftentimes that comes with comparison, and comparison isn't really a healthy thing. And yeah, so that's just what we wanted to make sure that we got across at the beginning for Midtown, because we love Midtown and we can't wait to come back. So we just wanted to honor you guys. Now today, I wanted to talk about something. I wanted to talk about wisdom this morning. Actually, when anyone asks Mark or I to speak, we immediately jump on our favorite topic of all time, which is unity. We love talking about unity in the body of Christ. We love just smashing down walls that are in between denominations and, you know, that kind of thing. We just love the idea of the body being a family, and so we love talking about unity. That really gets us going, and community. But today I just, you know, I really felt something. Actually, Vera was at my house not too long ago, and she was talking about the White Rose campaign and a lot of the work that her and Claire have been doing and going out and looking for opportunities to network with other organizations and, you know, learn about the White Rose campaign and everything that she talks about from the front in terms of, you know, girls in the sex trade, which we've all, girls and boys in the sex trade and trafficking industry. So she was at my house, and we were just kind of talking about that sort of thing. And, you know, she was telling me about this experience that her and Claire had where they went to a meeting, and it was really frustrating to them because they were essentially looking for networking opportunities, looking for friendship, looking for like-minded people that want to stand up for these girls and women, you know? But instead, they were, you know, they met some of those people, and they made friendships, but they were also kind of bombarded with this worldly system. And I know a lot about this system because I'm in social work. I've been studying it for 3 years with people that aren't like-minded, but I know they have a heart for people. That's why they've been studying social work. But, you know, just the worldly ways of thinking about these things is different from the way we think about these things. So Vera was talking to me about this experience she had, and my heart started to get really heavy, and it just started to ache, because I was thinking to myself, you know, how sad is it that all these people were in one room wanting to help these women, these girls, these kids, and yet they were still divided against each other, you know? And I know Vera and Claire's heart, and I know that they want to see these girls free, and they want to see them heal. They don't want to just see them out of the industry. They want to see them on fire for Jesus and realizing their destiny and all these things. So I was so sad, because I was like, God, like, I don't want them to get discouraged. You know, I don't want people like Vero and, you know, everyone who's excited at the minute for this sort of thing to get discouraged, because I know it's hard bringing this conviction to the worldly systems that are in place and saying, look, like, you know, bringing Jesus into it and saying it's more than you think, you know, this goes deeper than you think, this issue. So my heart was getting heavy, and I just felt God saying that he's going to be downloading wisdom and strategy to Vero. And I kept praying about it and praying about it. And then I was, you know, when I started praying for Vero, I started praying for Jay. And I was praying for both of them to just have this wisdom and this strategy. Because like I said before, Midtown is moving into this time of mobilization and actions, and it's awesome. So then I was thinking of today, and I thought, wow, like, you know, I've been really feeling this for Jay and Vero, so it kind of makes sense to talk about it, because you guys know when your leadership goes through something or gets revelation, or, you know, that it trickles down to us, you know. They always want to give what they've received, and they always want to bring us along into where God's leading them. So to make a long story short, that's how God just really, Holy Spirit just spoke to me and was dropping the word wisdom in my heart for today. So, how many of you guys know God is a good father? Like, a really good father. Like, the best. I want you to turn to somebody beside you and say, you are a wise person. And say, and don't finish there, say, and you are a leader. So, the Lord just dropped in my heart this one-liner from Midtown. You are a wise people, and you are leaders in the land. Now, instead of going to the dictionary or anything like that, I wanted us to kind of all be on the same page with the definition of wisdom. And so I was reading the message, which I think is brilliant, because before each book, they have this like one or two page, you know, like paraphrasing, explanation, summary, just kind of whet your appetite for the book and give you an outline. And so this is the one for Proverbs, because Proverbs is one of my favorite books. It's like, you know, if each book was like a meal in the Bible, I think Proverbs would be like bread for me, because I have a little bit with every other part. Like if I read Ezekiel, like I always, you know, want like a proverb for the day too. If that day I'm reading Psalms, I'll, you know, want a proverb for the day too. So I kind of call Proverbs my bread, which is, I don't know, just me. I picture things in meals. I love food. So, yeah, Alicia, you know, we got to stick together. Okay, so this was the definition of wisdom according to the Message Bible at the beginning of Proverbs. I'm going to read it, and you guys can just follow along. Wisdom is the biblical term for the on the earth as it is in heaven, everyday living. Wisdom is the art of living skillfully in whatever actual conditions we find ourselves. A college degree is no certificate of wisdom, nor is it concerned with keeping us out of moral mud puddles, although it does have a profound moral effect upon us. Wisdom has to do with becoming skillful in honoring our parents and raising our children, handling our money and conducting our sexual lives, going to work and exercising leadership, using words well and treating friends kindly, eating and drinking healthily, cultivating emotions within ourselves and attitudes towards others that make for peace. Threaded through all these items is the insistence that the way we think of and respond to God is the most practical thing we do. So this is a longer definition, but when I felt the Lord saying that, Midtown, you are a wise people and you are leaders in the land, I thought it was important to outline what wisdom is. Wisdom isn't just for kings. It isn't just for people in power or authority. Wisdom is for each one of us, and it's for the most practical, everyday moments of our life. As it says, you know, raising our children, handling our money, you know, the way we eat and drink. We need wisdom for all these things. So now that we're all on the same page of what wisdom is, we can just have a quick look at the places in the Bible where God clearly shows how accessible wisdom is, how much he wants to lavishly pour it out on us. I love this passage in Proverbs 1. You know, I could almost picture it as a skit. You know, lady, it's called about lady wisdom. It's personifying wisdom as a lady. And, you know, just talking about how she cries out in the street and raises her voices in the markets. You know, you can just picture on a pedestal, you know, just wisdom just saying, hey, listen to me. Hey, I'm here, over here. And everyone just rushing by, you know. And she's crying at the head of the noisy intersections, in the chief gathering places, at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks, how long, O simple ones who are open to evil, will you love being simple? And the scoffers who delight in scoffing, you know, those self-confident fools, how long will you hate knowledge? And, you know, this is very strong wording, you know. She's on her soapbox just shouting at them, like, won't you listen to me? Because I have called you and you have refused to answer. I have stretched out my hand and no man has heeded it. And you treated as nothing all of my counsel and would accept none of my reproof. So this is a picture of wisdom calling out to people, calling out to sinners and saved alike, God's wisdom saying, listen to me, I know the way to live. I know how to make you a success. I know the answers you are looking for. I'm here. I'm accessible. I want to give it to you. And then in Proverbs 2, it talks about wisdom, and it talks about how we need to cry out for it and ask for it and acknowledge that wisdom is there. Because as we just read, you know, there's a lady wisdom in the street, you know. God's wisdom is just before us, and we're kind of walking by and not acknowledging. And so it says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. So here we get to see some of the benefits of wisdom as well. You will find the right way to go. It will fill you with joy. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people. Who could use some wisdom in some areas in their life? Me too. Let's keep going. All right. So I know this is kind of heavy, but we're getting somewhere. I just wanted to lay down this biblical foundation so that we can all agree that wisdom is ours, that God wants to give it to us liberally. So in James 1, 5 to 6, I've put two translations in there because I like them both so much. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Or in the Message, if you don't know what you're doing, I'm not going to ask anyone to put up their hands, but just think about that. Is there an area in my life where I don't know where I'm doing, what I'm doing, sorry. Here's some giggles. So if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended, and he won't be condescended to you when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. So beginning, we acknowledge that God is a good Father. I know you guys know that, and I know that too, and sometimes I don't always act like that, and I don't always ask like that, but God is a really good Father, and he loves us, and he loves to help. His word says so, and we've experienced it, but sometimes we just need to be reminded that he loves to help. And in his word, he says, if you need wisdom, ask. I'm generous, ask. Okay, so there's some, you know, sometimes when we think of wisdom, we think of Solomon. I think of Solomon. I remember the story of Solomon from when I was younger, and it's always stuck with me. I really love this part of his story in 1 Kings 3. Actually, no, it's the second part, but this is just the part. 1 Kings 3, 3 to 14 is where he asked for wisdom, and then I'll get on to one of my favorite stories, but I'm not going to read 1 Kings 3, 3 to 14. That's just basically the part where God asks Solomon, what can I give you? And Solomon asks for wisdom. He actually says, you know, I'm young. I need to know how to rule your people. And it's like that. That's what he asked for. And God's actually pleased with what he asked for. He says, wow, you didn't ask for the destruction of your enemies or anything like that or wealth. So it says in the Bible that God was pleased. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you wisdom. And not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth and riches. And it actually says, you know, there's been no one like you before, and there will be no one like you after. That's how much I'm going to give to you. Because that's what Solomon asked for. It's so funny that was the desire of his heart that was kind of on the forefront of everything else. When God asks, what do you want? You know, it's kind of like Aladdin with the genie, you know, he rubs the lamp and the genie comes out and he's saying, you know, your three wishes. You know, Solomon only had one, and the one thing he asked for was wisdom. So shortly after he asked for this wisdom and God gives it to him, he gets a chance to exercise it. And it's one of my favorite stories of the Bible, because I just think it's miraculous. In 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28, two prostitutes come before Solomon with a baby, and they're just frantic. They're just yelling and screaming and, you know, they've got this baby, and they approach him, and they say, King. The first woman says, King, this woman, she rolled over to her baby in the night, and she rolled over on him, and he died. And then she came while I was sleeping and took my baby and put it at her breast, and she put the dead baby at my breast so that when I woke up, I thought my baby was dead, but then the light shone on his face, and I realized it wasn't my baby, it was her baby. And so, you know, there's like, whoa, you know? Solomon's like, whoa. And the other lady says, no. Like, that's my baby. Your baby's dead. The living baby is mine. So you have these two women, these two mothers, right? Ferocious mamas that want their baby. And you know, imagine that. Imagine being in that position as the king. It's all up to you to decide what happens with this child and what happens with these women. So Solomon thinks about it for a minute while these two ladies are going at it, and he says, okay, guards, security, come, whatever. Yeah, nowadays it would be security. Guards, come, cut this baby in half so that they can each have half. Okay. You read on in the story, and a lot of you know what happens. One mother cries out, "No, no, 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 no. Don't cut the baby in half. She can have the baby. Just don't cut him. Don't hurt him." And the other woman says, "No, if I can't have a living baby, you can't have one." She says something like that. She just says something really horrible. And so Solomon says, "All right, give the baby to the one who didn't want the baby touched, because clearly that's the mother." Anyway, so that is an amazing story, because it says that the people, when they heard of this story, when they heard of what Solomon's judgment was on this situation, they knew it was God's wisdom. They knew only somebody inspired by God, or as we would say, by the Holy Spirit, could make a decision like that there with all of this going on, right? And we've heard this story, and it's amazing, and you can just imagine. I can imagine it. I can imagine being Solomon and just saying, like, whoa, like, problem solved, and, you know, and the people being happy and the people being amazed at God's wisdom in Solomon, and just the peace and the relief that comes from having that wisdom and knowing, wow, I can rule these people because God gave me the wisdom I asked for. So this is an amazing story, and just an example of the wisdom God can give us to disarm arguments or to just be clarity in a confusing situation. And it's not just for kings, it's not just for people in authority, it's for us. And the beautiful thing is we have Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit 24/7. We have, ever since, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us, we have Holy Spirit to guide us, to inspire us, to be stirring up this wisdom in our hearts for every situation. So I was thinking about Solomon and the fact that wisdom was on the forefront of his heart, the forefront of his desires. And I really looked at my life and I was thinking, you know, God, like, I have been noticing that you have been changing my desires, especially as we pack up and move for England. I've really been noticing, like, just going through stuff. Does anyone like purging the house? Yeah? Me too. But sometimes it's hard because there's some things that you don't want to part with, or some things that, you know, are meaningless to other people but are so sentimental to you. So there's a hard part of it too, but I like purging for the most part. And we had this sale at our place last Saturday, and quite a few of you guys came to it, and we were so, so pleased and just so happy that you came and prayed for us and bought a few things and just things that, you know, kind of like a yard sale but inside. And we had a bake sale as well that day, and I just felt like I was taking the, you know, the little like $2 or toonies or like change that people were giving us for different items, and, you know, God was just whispering in my heart all day, it's just money. And it wasn't like rebuking me that because I love money, because I don't, and in that moment I was probably more focused on the relationships I had and how much I'm going to miss these people when we're in England. But he was just saying to me all day, just giving me this revelation and just really opening my eyes to something that I thought I knew, but I didn't. And he's just showing me, like, it's just money, you know? And that meant so much to me. Like, you know, I'm continually asking God for financial revelation and all that kind of stuff, and continually just, you know, surrendering my desires to him and stuff. And I know he wants us to have nice stuff. I know that I'd like a house one day for a reason, you know? These aren't bad things, but it was just a really cool moment for me, and I just really felt blessed that, you know, God was really just dropping these nuggets of truth in my heart, and I was really getting it. And just over this whole course of this year, like, Mark and I have both kind of felt that our desires are kind of changing, and, you know, that, like, every now and then we need to purge our house. Sometimes we need to purge our heart, and sometimes there's just things in there we need to get rid of, and sometimes attachments to worldly things or attachment to material things that we need to kind of cut off and get rid of. And so God's just really been changing our hearts, and I just kind of felt like, wow, godly desires are being stirred up within me. And it's really exciting. Because when I was reading the story again of Solomon, I was not only inspired and thought, wow, my desire for wisdom was like that much more than last time I read it. And I was like, whoa, like, God, I am getting to the point where I'm hopefully seeking wisdom more than silver and gold, you know? It was just really cool. And I just felt this verse for you guys. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And yeah, I just kind of felt like a lot of you could relate to what I've just said about desires changing. And I just encourage you, if you feel that some of the desires in your heart are changing and you're less interested in worldly things that you were interested before, and you're just kind of feeling the stirring of godly desires really being stirred up in your heart even more, I just bless you in that. And I bless you with an energy to pursue godly desires, to pursue godly things more than silver and gold. Because, you know, in Proverbs, like I was reading, it was talking about crying out for insight and asking God for understanding, searching for them as you would for silver, seeking them like hidden treasures. And you know, that sounds good in Proverbs, but how do I apply that to my life? I have to work so much. We have to work so much to get the silver, you know? And we're constantly doing, and sometimes we just need that extra energy to search out the godly things and pursue those things that God's told us to pursue. And I just bless you. I just feel like some of you are just drained of energy. And you're like, you know, it's great to have times where you're like asking God for that energy and just soaking him up and even just silent in his presence. We don't have to strive. We don't have to, you know, we can just receive Holy Spirit and just live in him every day. But I really feel like there's certain things in your life where God's saying to pursue, like as in actively, you know? And I just bless you with an energy to pursue those things and to be encouraged that sometimes we all feel tired in doing that, especially with the spiritual things that we can't see and they're not tangible. And you're just like, God, like I just, you know, I'm going after wisdom. I'm going after peace. I'm going after this fruit of the Spirit that I just can't get a grip on. Like I'm going after the stuff in your word. And sometimes it's tiring. So I just encourage you and I just bless you with an energy to pursue the godly stuff and time to pursue the godly stuff that he's put in your hearts. So Jesus is another incredible, complete example of wisdom. The way Jesus knew the scriptures, the way he answered the Pharisees every time they tried to trap him with their words. There's so many examples in the New Testament where Jesus, you know, could have said the wrong thing. But lo and behold, wisdom always guides him to answer in the right way. Not only in a way that silences the Pharisees, but in a way that glorifies God and so that everyone around him thinks, whoa, this guy's speaking with authority. He's the Son of God. You know, I just love the way Jesus could just still and quiet himself and say the right thing at the right time, just like how Solomon disarmed that argument, you know? The way he spoke in parables and, you know, an example, even when he gave the Beatitudes, like just that wisdom that poured out of him. And in waiting, you know, Jesus said when it was to Mary, his mom, you know, woman, it's not my time. You know, he knew when it was his time to act. And in relationships with his disciples, Jesus displayed wisdom. So, wisdom looks at opportunities differently. Wisdom looks at situations differently. Wisdom is not intimidated by decision making. I really felt that for this morning too, that wisdom is not intimidated by decision making. Does anyone in here have some important decisions to make at the minute? It's okay, you don't have to say what they are. Mark, hey, me too. Darla, you raised your hand. Some of us, you don't have to say what they are. But I really feel like there's some important decision making going on, and we all go through that process of when things come up and we have to, you know, make a decision quickly, whether it's going to change our career or the school our kids go to or something like this. And, you know, it's easy to get intimidated by decisions when they come up because that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to see that there's a decision to be made, and he wants us to get scared that we're going to make the wrong choice. And, you know, the Bible says that as a man thinks, so he is. You know, as a man thinks of himself, that's how he acts. That's who he becomes. And when we think that we have wisdom, when we read the scriptures and say, okay, God, not only do you say that when we need help, we can ask for wisdom. You say that wisdom is crying out in the street, offering, you're offering wisdom to anyone who will grab a hold of it, anyone. So, all right, so I'm going to ask for wisdom, and I'm going to believe I have been given it. Just like James says, I'm not going to waver like the tossed sea. So when decisions are there to be made, when decisions confront me, I'm not going to be scared to make the wrong choice. When an argument is happening in front of me or in my household or in the church, when somebody stands up and wants to disrupt the service, when, you know what I mean? Like when these things come up and automatically, you know, it's just kind of like, whoa, like feathers are ruffled and you're just kind of like, oh God, what do I do? Remember, we're crowned with wisdom. We're crowned with the same wisdom Jesus had, Solomon had, all these amazing, inspiring stories in the Bible. We have Holy Spirit in us to give us the words to say. So God is a really good father. He's just helping us so much with our move, guys. Like, we have experienced so much favor, left, right, and center. It's overwhelming and unbelievable, and I'm just so blessed by him that he is a good father. And you know, the Bible also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think at the beginning of our decision to go away, Mark and I just kind of stood in a place of being in the fear of the Lord. And we just said, okay, God, you are God. We are not. We are in a total place of humility and helplessness. And we need some perspective. And since then, things have come together. By humbling ourselves in that moment, stuff has come together. By giving God that place of honor and by fearing him as God. It just gave us perspective on what really mattered and who's really in control. And that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Because you're saying, okay, God has all the wisdom. All right, that's why it's the beginning of wisdom, because once we acknowledge God has the wisdom and the wisdom is God, he can give it to us. We're not relying on ourselves anymore. So, Mark, Vienica, that's the extent of my Italian. All right. So why don't we just stand up? All right. It's so nice talking to adults because we're usually speaking at youth group. And it's just like, you know, you say stand up and people stand up is great. And they're not playing on their iPods. And you guys are so attentive. Like, we've been speaking at youth for the past 2 months. We went on a road trip to Florida with them. And wow, I'm just like overwhelmed right now. It's been a while. You guys are awesome. I just wish we had candy here like we usually do at youth. Actually, side note, just because we love youth. If you know a teenager, one teenager in here, put your hand up. One teenager. We all know Sophie. This is just a side note, totally aside from what I've been talking about, that I did want to mention. While we're gone, I want to challenge you guys to pray for one teenager. And don't all pick Sophie. Because Sophie, like, clearly somebody's already been praying for her because she's amazing. Okay, pray for a teenager that God puts on your heart. Can you do that for me? Yeah? I'm looking at your faces. You guys are like, why? Why? Like, can you just pick a teenager? Okay. Because they need prayer. I wish I could bring you all to youth group. Oh, they need prayer. No, they do. And when we come back, I would love to be part of a youth group here. That'd be awesome. So, let's pray them in. And when we get back, we can play with me and Mark. Okay. So, aside from that, and remember, you promised, I just want you to hold out your hands. And when we were talking at the beginning, just hold out your hands, and if you don't want to, that's okay. Just close your eyes. When we were talking at the beginning about the definition of wisdom, the reason I wanted to read about it, I know you guys know a lot of this, but the reason I wanted to talk about how wisdom has a place in every part of our life, our money, handling money, conducting our sexual lives, going to work, exercising leadership, using words well, and treating friends kindly. Everywhere you look in your life, we could use wisdom. And this morning, God is calling Midtown a wise people that are leaders in the land. I didn't make that up, I promise. He just spoke it into my heart. He said, Midtown, you are a wise people that are leaders in the land. And sometimes we just need to define wisdom so we remind ourselves what it is, how accessible it is, how to apply it. And I feel like some of you guys, some of you have already raised your hands that you are in an important decision-making process. Some of you guys are starting up new projects and new businesses, or that you have a family business. Yeah. So what we're going to do now, those two people specifically are on my heart. So Paul and Christy, I know you guys have your own business. Anyone else that has their own business? Darla and Mike. And Stephen and Jamie, can you guys just come to the front here on the red part? And just soak for a minute. But Mark and I really have a heart to pray for you guys this morning, because God is seriously pouring out some serious wisdom. You like that? I said seriously twice because it's serious. God is pouring out a lot of wisdom and discernment and understanding and... yeah, come on, Sandra. And there are other people here that work in schools, Trevor, Jill, Rebecca. And I know you guys on a daily basis. I just see you kind of in elements like Solomon was in. You know, just areas where, whether it's with 5-year-olds or 10-year-olds or 14-year-olds or staff, I just see you guys having the ability to disarm arguments. And to just step in a place where you guys didn't even think that you really... had a right to speak, but people are seeking out your wisdom and people are acknowledging that you have answers. And I just see you guys just stepping into a place, and it's going to come to a point where you have other people asking you about relationships outside of school and how to go about bringing peace in those relationships. So not just stuff that's going on in the school or your workplace with the kids or the staff, but just they're going to come to you and seek. They probably already have been, but just help in the other areas outside. They're going to be seeking out that wisdom and that discernment. And I honestly feel like you guys, you know that, but you're going to surprise yourself in the next few months just with how much is going to pour out of you. That's going to be like, whoa, I just said that. Like, wow, that was brilliant. So if... the rest of you guys can, I want you guys to, that are in the seating area, can you just pray with one another, one or two people, for an area in your life where you could use wisdom, whether it's one of those ones that we outlined at the beginning, even eating healthily or exercising or in family, relationships, money, just find someone and just say an area, and that you guys can just pray into that together, that wisdom, okay? And Mark and I are just going to... if you can put on a CD at the back, and Mark and I are just going to pray for these guys here specifically, okay? Awesome.